That's why you're the text and I'm not. Last several weeks, and my family has been going through the mill with all kinds of stuff, from sickness to trying to have something a little bit celebratory. And most of you know that we've had another death in our family. Most of you know George, because we spent time at his house, and he was so gracious to open up his pool to us. And you know, he was very hospitable and loving and caring, and just really wanted to be a blessing to Streams. He has passed away, or as they said in the bulletin, his light has set. So please keep the family in prayer. Was not a joyous birthday for Irene, needless to say. We had a whole bunch of stuff related to the funeral and stuff. So hopefully this week will be a little bit better for us. A little jealous that George has graduated, but the Lord has something for us to do. So, and apparently George fulfilled that. So let's bow our heads. We'll start with prayer. Father, we just come before you, Lord God. We ask that you prepare our hearts, O God. Stir up our hearts, O God. Break up the fallow ground so that the seed that you want to plant would find good soil. I ask that Father, you take us deeper in our understanding. Impart your wisdom to us, O God, that we may be well equipped for that which you've called it our lives to be. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians 2, if you would turn there. Or 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And Ephesians 2 says, but God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love, which he has loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up together and made us to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a free gift from God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. The title of this message is Good Men, Good Works. If we are in Christ Jesus, we are a new creation that God has designed on us, a markable change, and it's able to be measured by this change once we receive salvation. In other words, your life has to change, and people see this change, and they see the growth over a period of time. But within that design that God has given us through our salvation, we don't do good works to earn our salvation. We have salvation that leads us to do good works. And so the Holy Spirit began to challenge me. And as I said to you last week, he told me to stop thinking like a mere man. Stop thinking on the elements and the level that mere men think about, and begin to start transcending the depths of God. And so as I started to think about this, God reminded me of things that I know. I know that I'm a child of God. I know this. And being a child of God, he exhorts me to gain his wisdom, according to Proverbs 2, 1 through 5. And he exhorts me to obediently implement God's wisdom into my life, Proverbs 3, 5 through 6, and Psalm 37, 1 through 11. And as I implement his wisdom into my life, that change that comes glorifies him, according to Jeremiah 9, 23 through 24. And just like I said, I don't do good things to earn salvation. I do good things because of my salvation. Why? Because my salvation has changed from being self-focused to outwardly focused, to be concerned for others more than I'm concerned about myself. But in all this, in this pondering, I had to ask myself three questions. What are good works? God's prepared us for good works. What are good works? What are their purposes? And finally, what are their nature? Are they spiritual or are they physical? And as I began to think about this, I concluded that there were three things that the scriptures require of us for us to do good works that meet God's standards. One, they must be done in accordance to biblical law, 2 Timothy 3:16. They are done with a proper motive of love, gratitude, utilized for redemptive purposes. Romans 12:1, Romans 13:8 through 10, 1 Thessalonians 1 through 3, Hebrews 6:10. And as you can see, there is a ton of scripture that I've been just meditating on and thinking about. I would say ever since coming back from the conference. What is God saying to me? What does he want me to convey to you, his heart, about going deeper? The second thing we must understand that, or the third thing is that we must, they're done with the right aim in mind. We do them to bring glory to God. According to Matthew 5:16, 1 Corinthians 6:20, and 1 Peter 2:12. You guys can have these scriptures after service today. Write them down. But being armed with these conclusions, the Holy Spirit kept challenging me to look deeper. He was causing me to go into deeper water, to really seek and challenge my heart. What are the marks of a good man? What do good works look like? And what are the preliminaries we need to go to do good works? This is what God's asking me. To look at my life and to reflect and see that. And this has been centered around because of George. Much of the testimonies that were shared yesterday talked about how he did things that no one else knew that he did and showed forth his generosity in secret. You see, he lived what he believed, and even though he had faults, he lived for Christ. We all have faults. We all have things that hinder us from really going further with God. And yet in our hearts, we say, I want more of you, God. I want more of you. But to want more of God means we have to go deeper with him. We can never be satisfied because only God can satisfy that thirst that each and every one of us have. Today is just the first step in which I'll be laying this foundation. And today I will humbly try to reveal what those good marks of a good man are and how we can recognize this good man in us and around us. But we have to start with the world. What does the world value? The world values causes. And those who participate don't want to be thought of as not supportive or not giving to these good causes. Many give their time, their talents, and even money for a good cause. But we have to understand that it's not a good cause that we're after. It's not a good cause that the Lord is setting up in our lives. It's good works. And so we have to differentiate between a cause and good works. Now understand, I'm not talking about those who are outside of Christ, who do good things, use their wealth in such a way to ease the sufferings of this world. I'm talking about spiritually alive men who are being led by the Holy Spirit. And so my conclusion is I'm talking to spiritual men and women. And about their lives and what God has set up. Because he says he has set our lives up with good works that we should walk in them. And like I said, many consider the sacrifices of their time, their talents, and money as good works given to these causes. But are they? In truth, are they? Only we know what's going on in our heart. The Bureau of Labor Statistics cataloged in 2002 that 50 million people volunteered an average of 52 hours a week to their cause. That's 1 hour a week, 52 hours a year. 28% of that 50 million reported giving 100 to 500 hours of their time, and most of that was documented through religious organizations. An estimation of $240.92 billion, that is a B, were given by individuals, corporations, and estates to over 1.4 million charities in the United States. Many athletes and stars lend their names to such causes as Greenpeace, Sierra Club, Ronald McDonald House, and the Red Cross, just to name a few. Their goal is to make the world just a little bit better place to live in. This mindset is especially true amongst the Christian community, for they believe that it is required of them through the efforts to spread the good news and expand the kingdom of God based on Matthew 5:16, which states, "Let your light shine," and Ephesians 2:10, these good works that we're to walk in. And certainly the scriptures command us to make the world a better place, right? Right? Aren't these examples of good works we are to perform? Shouldn't we be serving in soup kitchens, fundraising money for the charities, or even becoming activists against those who do cruel things against humanity, animals, and the world? After all said and done, these things we do, could we still hear the Lord say to us, "I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness." You see, is it what God has told us to do, or is it a cause that moves our emotions in such a way that we want to be a part of that? Remember, I said we do things not to earn our salvation, but because of our salvation, we do these things. And of course, You know, a lot has been going on in our lives as it is in your life. And I exhort you to take time to ponder what God is saying to you. As he said to me last week, spend a little time. When you go to the store, just spend a little time. Don't hurry in, hurry out, but just spend a little time there. Saying all this, the question still remains, what are the marks of a good man? Are we recognized for our participation in these causes? Or are we recognized by our heart to serve the Lord? Matthew 7, Jesus gives us this warning. He says, watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. By their fruit, you will recognize them. By the character that they come to us. And we're bombarded. I've sat in front of the TV where they're putting images of kids suffering. Images of people in war-torn countries. Images that are meant to initiate our emotions to give to causes. But is this what Jesus is saying to us? He tells us to beware. Because even though it looks good, it may not be God. Galatians 5:22-26 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. And since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. The key is love. This love marks a good man. And through love, they will do what God has willed for them to fulfill in their lives. What has God stirred on your heart to do? I know what he's stirred on my heart, and we're moving in that direction. What has he stirred in your heart? Remember, the enemy doesn't want you to accomplish the plan of God in your life. He will do everything. He will attack you personally. It's happened to us over and over again. He will attack your family. He will even attack your environment to make you focused on lowly things. Not that they're not important, but God has a plan for our lives, and are we about Father's business as it relates to our lives? That's the question. Jesus performed all this stuff, and he upset people because he didn't do what they wanted him to do. But he loves the Father, and he loved to do the will of the Father. And he demonstrated this love to the world that yet while we were sinners, he died for us. He paid for our crimes. He atoned for our sins. He forgave us. of every wrong thing that we've done. And then on top of that, He's given us His Spirit to have power to fulfill that which He's called into our lives, so that sin would not rule in our mortal bodies any longer. That we wouldn't be given to the proclivities of our excuses. I don't have, I can't do, or whatever. One of the things that we've learned as a family is no is not in our vocabulary. Many have come to me and said, Pastor, can I ask a favor of you? And I respond to you guys, if I can. I have to hear the request. I don't have to sit there and pray about stuff. I need to hear what the request is, because God is within me, and He'll tell me immediately if I can or can't. And unfortunately, to my flesh, He tells me, you can. Well, let's face it. You know, we're to be led by the Spirit of God, not by our flesh. And many of us have given into that. I'm not trying to condemn you. I'm trying to get you to think a little bit deeper. What is it that God has planned for your life? And what are you struggling with? This should be a safe place where we come together to be exhorted, to praise God, to tell Him how wonderful He is. Our worship is to tell Him how valuable He is to us. Our giving to Him is to tell Him that there is no expense we would withhold from Him by our giving. We would praise Him, whether it be here or out in the streets. You see, what we have done, what the world has done to us and has crept into the church, is to say that worship is a style of the music. Worship is the amount that we give. Worship is following a cause. Worship is your life. Every aspect of your life should be worshiping God, because it's to bring glory to Him. How much do you value God? A good man loves. Jesus was a good man. He was not only God, He was God in flesh. He exhibited love. Loved God, and He loved men. Romans 13, 8 through 10 says, let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law. The commandments: do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not covet, and whatever other commandment there may be, are all summed up in this one rule. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to its neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Love. Not the love that the world gives. Not the selfish love that enables our flesh to convince us to be contrary to what God is leading us. But the love of God, to love our fellow man. If I love God, then I must love you and demonstrate that love in its reality. What are the marks of a good man? How does that reality, how does the reality of my love ring true to you? Matthew 22:36-40 says, the disciples asked the teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest command. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. That's what Strings was established on. Love God. Love people. And together we'll love life. And I have to say, when I talk with other pastors, I brag on you guys. I really do. I brag on your participation in the events that we go through, which is a sign of your love. I brag on how excited you are when it comes time to serve. You know, with Dan and Tony now heading ministries. I get excited for you because the plan of God is now starting to take action in your lives. You're not willing to allow the attacks of the enemy, you personally, your family, or your environment, to stop you. That's what God's looking for. He's looking for overcomers. Because you see, He has made us to overcome. Whether you realize it or not, you already are those overcomers. And each time you put the flesh down and choose to love someone, you demonstrate the love of God. That's what all this is, we've been talking about for a couple of months, about sowing and reaping and, you know, continuing to sow in spite of not seeing the results and stuff. One plants, one waters, but it's God who give us the increase. And some of us have grown weary, and I say to you, that's of the flesh. Let's continue on. Let's do what God has said. God has promised us increase. Let's do what He says to do. And we're building according to what He says to do. Everything we do is done as an expression of love, and without love, we cannot fulfill the meeting of heartfelt needs of those who need Jesus Christ. Causes are great, but do they fulfill the heartfelt needs of Jesus Christ? You see, Jesus has something even better. Better than what the world gives. You see, the world really wants to take the place of Jesus. It does not acknowledge Him as King, does not acknowledge Him as Lord, and is trying to permeate that thought into the church itself. What is He saying to you? I know what He's saying to me. He wants me to go deeper. He wants me to dive to even a greater capacity. Holy Spirit, remind me. I call myself a Christian, but it's going to cost me all that I am and all that I have. Because it's His. He paid for it. I don't own anything. I just get the privilege to be a steward of everything He's given to me. When we really begin to examine and allow the Holy Spirit to plow up our hearts and stuff, the first thing that He puts into us, or the first thing that He wants to get out of us, is love. Look at Galatians. Love. I love God. He knows. He knows where I'm at. He understands that you know, I just don't have the resources needed to. No. You have the resources. Deeper thought is He's trying to teach you stewardship. And as you prove yourself faithful in this little thing, He increases you. You see, to think like a mere man, like I was thinking, was to think that our increase, we're going to have increase in numbers, we're going to increase in finances, we're going to increase in ministries, we're going to increase all this stuff. But really, He wants to increase our heart. He wants me to increase my heart to you and to those who are suffering needlessly, who have no peace because they're buying the lies of the world. They're buying the lies that Satan is telling them. And remember, he can only deceive us and lie to us. And he's the father of all lies. And any time that he speaks a lie, it excites our flesh. And every time God speaks to us, he wants it nailed to the cross. Love, goodness, kindness. Kindness is having compassion, are the true marks of a good man. His good works are the works of love giving to our beloved. He does things because he sees Christ in you. And he does it to meet your need. Didn't Jesus say, you know, when I was in prison, you came and visited me. When I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. When I was naked, you gave me something to clothe me. When I was alone, you were there to comfort me. And the world says, Lord, Lord, when did we do that? As you did it to the least of them, you did it to me. I'm not saying that the causes aren't right. What I'm saying is, what is it that God is saying to you? Stop waiting for the ideas to come forth and say, I'll get on that. Yeah, that sounds like a great idea. We'll get blankets for the homeless. Open your home to them. Feed them. Bathe them. Go deeper. Go the extra mile. You have things that God has given to you for someone else. It has never been me and my four, bless me, and no more. It has always been what God gives to us, we give to others. Love, goodness, and kindness, compassion are the true marks of a good man. Jesus exhibited this 24/7. According to Galatians 6, 9 through 10, Colossians 1, 27. In Galatians 9, or 6, he says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Let us not grow weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. And that's what I want to exhort you. Don't give up. Don't try to allow the world to dictate the immediacy of a harvest. What I have learned, God has taken his time. He takes his time with us. But he said that we will increase. So keep it up. Keep sowing. Keep doing good to all men. Keep loving them. Keep sharing Jesus with them. Even if they spit on you, throw you out of their houses, whatever. Let them know that the Lord loves you. And through you, good works will be done. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those who belong to the family of God. We have some today who are out. They're sick. I'm going to ask Dan at the conclusion to pray for those who are sick, who are going through. It's terrible. It's rotten. I thought coming out of the swamp that Sunday, I was feeling great. But this spirit grabbed a hold of me, this spirit of infirmity, and I suffered a second week in which I was trusting God for my healing and deliverance from this. And the reality of it is Christ in me. I took authority. I commanded healing to come out of this body. I commanded life to swallow up death, disease, and sickness. And every day I got better. Every day I commanded this spirit to come out of me. To which I can rejoice. I know it's God. I know the power that He's given to me and the authority that He's given to me. And He's given it to you too. You need to use it. In Colossians 1:27 it says, to them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this ministry. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Last week God said, you know, we're looking to enjoy His presence. His presence is with us all the time. He now wants us to go deeper. He wants us to look for the glory. And I've been part of some amazing stuff. Dan's been with me. And we've seen God do awesome things because we were seeking the glory. We're seeking His glory. Moses sought God's glory. And God says, if I show you my glory, you will explode. You will disintegrate. So what I'm going to do is, because you asked right, we should be seeking God's glory. He took Moses and He put him in the cleft of the rock and He put His hand over as he walked by so that Moses would not be totally consumed with God's glory. And as God walked past, Moses beheld God. It's awesome. That's what God wants to do in the world. That's what He has us here, to proclaim His fame. That men would repent and see His glory, behold Him as He is, King of the universe, who loves man, not hates him, who wants to deliver man, not suppress him. Who has given to us every good thing to share with each other without strings attached. This is what the heart of the Father wants expressed. This love is demonstrated towards men as good works by the laying out of one's resources to relieve a need and seeking the welfare of that person. In every possible way, showing generosity that produces a good conscience. 1 Timothy 1:5, 19, James 2:14-20, and Isaiah. I exhort you to look at Isaiah 58:6-9. Some of us are waiting for the church to give resources so that we can give it away. No. The church exists to use the resources that God has given to us individually to meet the needs. I'm challenging you guys. I'm challenging you to look at your life. Challenging you to go deeper with God. Challenging you. Because this is what God's doing with me. That's just Pastor. He's on a tangent, you know. It's the heart of God who wants us to reveal Him to people who are in bondage to religion, who are in bondage to their decision making. They don't make good decisions. Why? Because they don't have the wisdom of God. Who squander the resources that have been given to them. Who have done things and know that they have done things and they don't need to be told they've done dumb things. What they need is a hug from the people of God. And if we're not doing that with each other, then why are we even getting together? If I don't care about you and what's going on, what's my religion worth? What's your religion worth? You see, I don't consider myself a good man. I just consider myself a man following after the good man, Jesus Christ. I'm not, and don't expect perfection this side of the kingdom of heaven. But God expects me to respond in love. Lord Jesus, your Lord and my Lord, demonstrates the very marks of a good man and set the example for us to follow. We need to let those examples examine our hearts and our condition, to ask the questions why we do things and why we don't do things. We must realize that we're not going to reach sinless perfection this side of heaven. God knows that. We know that sin dwells in this body. Sin doesn't want to die, but it has to in order for Jesus to come forth. We do these acts because we know our relationship with God is right when we do them. And it's founded and contributes to a true faith through repentance and demonstrates to our fellow man love in God meeting their heartfelt needs. I'm talking about relationship. What's your relationship to Jesus and what is he telling you that you should be doing? I challenge you, share with me. Because my job as a shepherd is to come alongside of you and help you to do that thing that God has called into your life. That may require the fullness of the church to come alongside. It was never meant for you to do it by yourself. The things that we do are things that we need to do in order to attract people to streams. But nothing attracts people more, and I've learned this through my wife, is kindness. How kind are you to other people? Never see Jesus not being kind. When he was sitting on the hill and he saw the thousands out there, he had compassion on the people because they didn't have a shepherd. We need to practice this with each other, the family of God. Not just say, I love you, go your way, when we know a brother has a need, whether it's having a meal, clothes, paying a bill. We actually condemn ourselves when we say, I hear what you're saying. Peace be with you. God will take care of you. You see, what we need to do is heighten our awareness to each other. It's one thing to have resources and not use them. It's quite another not to have resources, but say, God is saying this to me, Pastor. What can we do to meet this heartfelt need? Are you listening to what your neighbors are saying to you? Really listening? Or are you just caught up in the superficial officiality of a relationship? What are they saying This is the challenge that God's saying to me. That even though I'm hearing and I'm aware and he's saying things, he wants me to go deeper. He wants you to go deeper. As we open up our hearts and use our resources for God's cause, he will change us more into the image of his loving Son. He will. Your salvation has changed you. You have the Spirit of the living Christ dwelling in you. Roll away the stone and let him out. Roll away the stone that is trying to keep him in the tomb. And as you roll it away, something wonderful happens. The world will see and recognize that we're his disciples by the love we have one for another. Father, we want your heart. We want to express you to a dying, hurting, completely collapsing world. There is no salvation in the government. There is no salvation in the world. There is even no salvation in the church. Salvation is through you. We are a product of that salvation. Father, take us from the beach and bring us into the water. Take us from ankle depth to knee depth to where the depth of the water just envelops us completely. Open up our hearts, God. And hear the heartfelt needs of people who are crying out to you. Who need peace, who need compassion, who need to receive the forgiveness of their sins, which is only found in you. Help us, O God. Give us mercy for turning our ears off and making our hearts cold to your voice. I ask, God, that that challenge that you have given to me now be put upon your people. To challenge their hearts to open and to hear the King of Glory who wants to come in. Heighten our awareness, God. Give us understanding, God. Help us to appropriate your heart. That we may demonstrate your love to a world that needs to hear. I ask that you bless your people today, God. I ask that you continue to raise up streams. Continue to prepare our increase. I ask that this foundation be laid and you would sweep away all the debris in our lives. And remove the causes. For there's only one great cause, and that's your cause for the salvation of the world. Help us to fulfill the call that you have in our lives and walk in these good works that you have prepared for us. So that we may have a heart of gratitude and thanksgiving that brings you glory and honor and praise. I thank you, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Dan, would you lead us in prayer for those who are sick and infirm?